All Bhagavatam, 10th canto, chapter 6, texts 39 to 40. And we're just going to do 39 responsively. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Abhayamsi Yasam Apivat Putra Sneha Snutani Alam Bhagavan Vivaki Putra Kaivalyani Vakila Pradaha Vayamsi Yasam Apivat Putra Sneha Snutanyalam Bhagavan Devaki Putra Kaivalya Yakila Pradaha Vayamsi Yasam Apivat Putra Sneha Snutanyalam Bhagavan Devaki Putra Kaivalyad Yakila Pradaha Vayamsi Yasam Apivat Putra Sneha Snutanyalam Bhagavan Devaki Putra Kaivalyad Yakila Pradaha. So I'll just read the next verse and the word-by-word synonyms. Tasam aviratam krishne purvatinam sutekshanam napunakapate rajan sangsarajnana sambhavaha. So you can repeat. Vayam se milk coming from the body. Yasam of all of whom Apibat Lord Krishna drank Putrasneha Snutani that milk coming from the bodies of the gopis not artificially but because of maternal affection. Alam, sufficiently. Bhagavan, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Devaki Putraha, who appeared as the son of Devaki. Kaivalya Adi, like liberation or merging into the Brahman effulgence. Okila Pradaha, the bestower of all similar blessings. Tasam, of all of them, of all the gopis. Aviratam, constantly. Krishna, unto Lord Krishna. Kuravatinam, making. Sutta Ikshanam, as a mother looks upon her child. Nah, never. Punaha, again. Kalpate, can be imagined. Rajan, O King Parikshit. Sangsaraha, the maternal bondage, the material bondage of birth and death. Ajnana Sambhavaha, which is to be accepted by foolish persons, ignorantly trying to become happy. So, translation. The Supreme Personality of Godhead Krishna is the bestower of many benedictions, including liberation, Kaivalya, or oneness with the Brahman effulgence. For that personality of Godhead, the gopis always felt maternal love, and Krishna sucked their breasts with full satisfaction. Therefore, because of their relationship, as mother and son, although the gopis were engaged in various family activities, one should never think that they returned to this material world after leaving their bodies. So you can purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. The advantage of Krishna consciousness is described herein. Krishna consciousness gradually develops on the transcendental platform. One may think of Krishna as the Supreme Personality. One may think of Krishna as the Supreme Master. One may think of Krishna as the Supreme Friend. One may think of Krishna as the Supreme Son, or one may think of Krishna as the Supreme Conjugal Lover. If one is connected with Krishna in any of these transcendental relationships, the course of one's material life is understood to have already ended. As confirmed in Bhagavad Gita in the 4th chapter, text 9, Jaktva deham puna janma naiti mameti. For such devotees, going back home, back to God, it is guaranteed. Na puna kalpate rajan sangsaro jnana sambhavaha. This verse also guarantees that devotees who constantly think of Krishna in a particular relationship will never return to this material world. In this material world of sangsara, there are the same relationships. One thinks, here is my son, here is my wife, here is my lover, here is my friend. But these relationships are temporary illusions. Ajnana sambhavaha. Such a consciousness awakens in ignorance. But when the same relationships awaken in Krishna consciousness, one's spiritual life is revived, and one is guaranteed to return home back to Godhead. Even though the gopis, who were friends of Rohini and Mother Yashoda, and who allowed their breasts to be sucked by Krishna, were not directly Krishna's mothers, they all had the same chance as Rohini and Yashoda to go back to Godhead and act as Krishna's mothers-in-law, servants, and so on. The word Samsara refers to attachment for one's body, home, husband, or wife, and children. Mm-hmm. But although the gopis and all the other inhabitants of Vrindavan had the same affection and attachment for husband and home, their central affection was for Krishna in some transcendental relationship, and therefore they were guaranteed to be promoted to Goloka Vrindavan in the next life, to live with Krishna eternally in spiritual happiness. The easiest way to attain spiritual elevation, to be liberated from this material world and go back to Godhead, is recommended by Bhaktivinoda Thakur. Krishnera Sangsara Karachari Anachar. One should give up all sinful activities and remain in the family of Krishna. Then one's liberation is guaranteed. So, Vayam Siyasam Apipa Putra Sneyas Nutanyalam Bhagavan Devaki Putra Kaivalyad Yakila Prataha Tasam Aviratam Krishna Kurvatinam Sutekshanam Nap Punakapate Rajan Sangsaro Jnana Sambhavaha. So, Omagana Timiranda Shya Gananjana Shlakaya Chakshur and Meditam Yena Tasmai Shri Radhave Namaha. Several very important points from Prabhupada's purport and the verse. First of all, first point is that according to the Bhagavad Gita, in the 15th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, this material world is a reflection of the spiritual world. The example given, it's a metaphorical example, in the 15th chapter is a banyan tree. And this particular banyan tree is perceived as having its roots going up and its branches going down. And so, actually we've all seen banyan trees or trees like this because it's we see them when they're reflected in the body of water, like a lake or a river or something like that. So it's reflection. And the actual tree is there, but we may look at the reflection. So right now, we are actually absorbed in the reflection of the spiritual world. And so what was blissful in the spiritual world, in the material world, is actually miserable. And what was full of knowledge in the spiritual world, in the material world, is full of ignorance. And what was full of life in the spiritual world is full of death in the material world. So, you know, janma mrityu jara vyadhi dukha doshana dashana. And anyway, so many verses in the Bhagavad Gita. Brahmana bhuvana brahma punar vartino arjuna bamu pechit tukantya vanu from the highest planet brahma bhuvana loka. From the highest planet, Brahma's planet, to the lowest planet, all places of misery, where repeated birth and death take place. And one who goes to Krishna's abode never has to come back to this material world. So there's so many statements like that. But still, we are trying to enjoy a reflection. And this reflection is real, but it's not what we think it is. It's not that the material world is unreal. The material world is not an illusion. We are in illusion. For example, when I was very young and they first came out with television, and I would watch television, I would think that there were little people inside the box. That was my first impression of television. I thought, you know, if I smash the screen, I can find the little people who are dancing to entertain me inside the television. But the television is just like a reflected image from somewhere else. It wasn't real. Or many of you go to see Bollywood films. And during the playing of the Bollywood films in the Village Six or whatever you call it here, you're crying sometimes, the ladies. The men, they like to see violent films. Or they like to watch rugby games. And so the men are going, ah, ah. You know, they're growling like rakshasas as they're watching the game. And the women are crying as they're watching the Bollywood films. But it's all an illusion. Nothing's there. It's just images on a screen. Of course, unless you go to the game itself, but then it's all illusion anyway. It's just some material bodies attacking some other material bodies. So the point is, within this material world, we have relationships, and these relationships are perverted reflections of the relationships in the spiritual world. And the further down you go in the relationships in the material world, to the degraded activities of illicit sex and everything like that, then the original source of those degraded activities is the highest. You know, so it's like a reflection. What's lowest here is the highest in the spiritual world. So that's where we are right now. So the point is, we all have relationships in the spiritual world. And Prabhupada makes the point very explicitly here that one should ultimately think of one's relationship in the spiritual world. However, most of us are not ready for that. Most of us are not ready to think, I am Krishna's mother in the spiritual world, I am Krishna's lover in the spiritual world, I am Krishna's buddy in the spiritual world. Most of us should concentrate on, I am Krishna's servant. That's what we should concentrate on. You know, Jivera Svarupahoy, Nitya Krishna Das. So one prematurely, without proper situation, that means at least being on the platform of Nishta, there's different platforms of devotional service. First platform, of course, is Ado Shraddha, that one has some initial interest or initial faith. Tata, sadhusangota, and then one begins to associate with the devotees. Then when you associate with the devotees, you'll begin bhajana kriya, to execute the items of devotional service, naturally by association. And then while you're executing these items of devotional service, you're getting rid of unwanted things, hopefully, like lust, anger, greed, illusion, envy, fear, which are called anarthas, unwanted things. And then when you're able to get rid of most of your unwanted things, then you become stable in devotional service, and that's called nishta. Nishta means stable. But stable means real nishta, because the reason we're describing nishta is because that's the essential platform one has to be on to start to understand one's spiritual identity. So that's why I'm going to go into a further description of nishta. So real nishta is not simply that someone comes to the morning program, or someone chants their rounds, or someone offers their food to Krishna and follows the principles of bhakti. That's actually part of nishta. But the rest of nishta, which is even, nishta of course means steadiness, stability, fixed, like that. So the rest of nishta is what happens during the rest of the day. You understand? Just like you may have good sadhana, chant nicely, and then right after the morning program, you're getting angry at people. You're watching Bollywood movies again. Sorry about that one. So you're doing things that are not Krishna conscious, you know, exhibiting the anarthas again. You don't exhibit them during the morning program. During the morning program, you chant. You japa nicely, you sit down nicely, you hear class. Fantastic. But then right after the morning, when you go to work or you go to school or whatever you do, then you show these bad characteristics again. And that's not a nishta. Nishta means 24/7. You understand? 24/7 means 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year, and 366 days on leap year. You don't get any vacations from being Krishna conscious to be in nishta. No time off. So Anyway, so if one reaches that platform, then you progress to the next level of devotional service, which is called Raganuga Sadhana. The first stage is Vaidhi Sadhana. Vaidhi means you're doing your practice, your bhakti, because there's a rule. What's the rule? You got to wake up in the morning. Okay. What's another rule? Chant 16 rounds. What's another rule? No taking intoxication, illicit sex, gambling, meeting. Okay. Rules. Okay. So we're following the rules. That means you don't have so much of a natural, spontaneous desire to follow the rules. You want to do something else, but you're doing following the rules because you want to be Krishna conscious. Not just that you're following the rules for rule's sake. That's niyam agraha. Niyam agraha means following the rules for the rule's sake. But we follow the rules in Vaidhi Sadhana Bhakti, that means devotional service rule-based, for a purpose of becoming Krishna conscious. So you should always think about that. For the purpose of becoming Krishna conscious, to make myself happy, you know, some purpose. Without a purpose, you're engaged in an activity that's very ritualistic. And most people don't have a purpose in life. You ask people, what is your purpose in life? They can't answer that question. Or they say, you know, just to raise my family or something. But then you say, why? What is the ultimate purpose? That's why we were discussing yesterday, when people retire and they're not Krishna conscious, in many cases they die right after they retire or get very sick because they're bored to death. At least when they're going to work, it keeps them busy so they can't think about anything else. But when you retire, and then Sumukh, we talked about this, when you retire, then what are you going to do? Just play golf the rest of your life? Or can't play rugby here because you're too old to play rugby. I mean, what are you going to do? Watch TV? Of course, here you have the benefit of having kava. You can just drink kava the rest of your life, the men. So it keeps you from getting bored, right? It's good medicine. So people need a purpose in life. And without a purpose, it's depressing. Actually, life is depressing without a purpose. So rule-based, getting back to the point of rule-based devotional service, you know, Vaidhi Sadhana Bhakti is based upon a purpose, not just Vaidhi. People misunderstand that. You know, why do you follow the rules? Because that's the rule. No, you follow the rules because you have a purpose to follow the rules. Like one goes to school, whether one goes to medical school, nursing school, whatever, because you have a purpose, something that long-term, a long-range purpose, that's what we're talking about, something long-term. So then after that, when you come to the stage of Nishtha, which we've been describing, then you actually can start to understand what your spiritual identity is. And the way you understand that is not that you just like flip a coin. You know, you understand? Flip a coin. Heads, I'm a gopi. Tails, I'm a coward boy. You ever do that? Flip a coin, you know, heads or tails? No. You actually reveal your sentiments to the spiritual master, if the spiritual master's there, or you reveal your sentiments to a greatly advanced devotee, and the devotee will give you some advice how to deal with it. You know, but otherwise, don't start to think about it. I mean, I always give the example that when I first joined the Krishna Consciousness Movement, after one day, I thought I was a coward boy. Why? Because me and the other brahmacharis were just sitting in the brahmachari ashram reading about the coward boys. They looked at each other and we said, "Well, we're all coward boys." That's called sahaja, taking things cheaply. So we should not take things cheaply. We should work and advance in devotional service. Of course, one of the ways of advancing, apart from following the sadhana, being steady in devotional service, is to preach Krishna consciousness. Because the more you spread, the more you share, the more you have. That's the difference between the material world, the more charity you give, the less money you have. But spiritually, the more you share Krishna consciousness, then you get back not only the same amount, you get 10, 100 times or 1,000 times the amount. Of course, Krishna does say, no one is more dear to me than he or she who preaches this Bhagavad Gita to the devotees. So that's a secret in devotional service. So then getting to the point of the gopis here. Here we're referring to the gopis, not the young gopis who dance with Krishna. We're referring to the gopis who had the maternal affection with Krishna. Gopi means basically coward lady. You understand? So when we use the word gopi, it could mean an older coward lady or younger coward lady. It doesn't necessarily mean the young girls. So so these particular gopis, they had the maternal affection towards Krishna. And it's interesting that Krishna was able to suck their breasts and derive milk, even though Krishna was not their son. Now, normally, under most circumstances, the lady has to have a baby to give milk to the children. But if the maternal affection is very strong, then the lady can actually give milk because of the feeling of the maternal affection. It actually manifests. And how do I know that? Not directly with ladies, but I know that with cows. We have cows. Cows, of course, also give milk, in case you hadn't figured out where milk comes from. If you think it comes from the supermarket, you are wrong. What they're selling in the supermarket is really contaminated milk. But anyway, so we've seen with cows, because I used to work with cows. See, I was a coward boy. So I used to work with cows, that we've seen that sometimes a cow will start giving milk without having a calf. Wow. Why is that? Because she feels so much love for the person who's taking care of her. Because a cow is naturally a mother. The cow naturally has that maternal affection towards people. You know, sometimes you get these radical, what we call vegans. I don't know if you know what a vegan is. A vegan is someone who doesn't take milk products, like me. So the reason I don't is because I don't want to be cruel to cows. That's a different reason. Because the milk you buy is a product of the slaughterhouse, is a product of cruelty. You're contributing to violence. So we get these radical vegans who say that milk is not meant for human beings, right? There's this propaganda, you know, really radical. That means completely wild. Milk is not meant for human beings, only meant for baby calves. No, because the cow naturally shows its affection to human beings and produces milk without having a calf. Goats don't do that. Mother goat, yuck. You know, sometimes people make propaganda, we should drink goat milk. I mean, why don't you milk a dog or a... Well, what other animal, you know, you can milk, you know, tiger. Actually, sometimes in India they have tiger milk. Did you know that? Anyway, don't try it. These tigers in India are big. 5 times as big as I am. Bengali tigers. So no other animal has that affectionate relationship like that with human beings. You know, human beings can have pets and things like that, but the animal doesn't have that sort of affection, the maternal affection. You know, the dog, of course, has the affection of servitude. He's situated in Dasha Rasa. And of course, Prabhupada said, and the Acharya say, actually Chanaka Pandit says, we can learn from a dog. You understand? Obedience to Krishna and obedience to the spiritual master. That's, but the cow has a natural relationship with a human being. And that's maternal. So this is really important, understanding this principle of the gopis who had that maternal relationship and were able to give milk to Krishna. Now these gopis, elderly gopis, they also, interestingly enough, had Krishna as their sons during a particular pastime that was enacted during Krishna's Leela. Pastime means Leela. That, here's the story. Once upon a time, Lord Brahma wanted to test Krishna. He was seen, right after the Agasura demon was killed, he was seen, who is this Krishna who thinks himself so powerful? We want to see how powerful he is. So what Lord Brahma did is he stole the coward boys and the calves. And when Krishna discovered them gone, he manifested himself as coward boys, the same coward boys and the same calves. At least externally, they weren't the same, they were all Krishna. Non-different than Krishna. So the esoteric reason that Krishna did that was to enable the elderly gopis, and also, there's another reason, to enable the elderly gopis to have him as their son. So for 1 year, before Lord Brahma realized he had made a big mistake, they were able to enjoy Krishna as their son, because their son was an expansion of Krishna, was directly Krishna. So they were able directly to feed Krishna and keep Krishna at home. It's nice, isn't it? And in this way, they became satisfied. And the younger gopis were able to get married to Krishna during that year. Of course, sometimes people accuse, how or why did Krishna have a relationship with someone else's wives? Well, guess what? The marriage occurred during the year, the marriage that the gopis had with Krishna, because it was, they have child marriages in those days, but they didn't live with each other. You know, it was a marriage, and they waited 10, 15 years to stay with each other. That's a different thing. It's not like these horrible things like child marriages they have nowadays. It's a completely different thing. And it was done so that people's mind would be stable when they reached puberty. You understand? Because it's an important thing. Because otherwise, when people reach a certain age, you know, both boys and girls, they start looking. Is she mine? Is he mine? He's my eternal love. She's my eternal love. You know, whatever. And every week they have a different eternal love. That's what I've seen. You know, I'm in America. You know, I know what it's like. You know, we preach at the university. And someone says, Here's my eternal love of the week. And next week the girl brings it. I said, who's that? Well, I dumped the guy, the previous guy. You know, they use the word dump him. Like you throw someone in the garbage. So, and this week it's, John. The week before it was Bob. And it's gotten so bad that maybe next week it'll be Jill. You understand that you're switching like that. It's called bisexual. Anyway, that's the reason why that marriage was done in an early age. Like even Bhaktivinoda Thakur had a marriage in an early age like that. So the younger gopis got a chance to marry. They did marry Krishna. So Krishna was actually married to those younger gopis. And the boys who later became their husbands, or thought they were their husbands, never even had that relationship with them. You understand? So this is the esoteric reason. Of course, after a whole year, Lord Brahma comes back And Lord Brahma, he looks at these cows who are very attracted to their younger calves. It's a very interesting story in the Krishna book. The cows at that time had younger calves that were younger than the calves that were Krishna. Does everybody understand that point? You know, Krishna, all right, let me describe it further. Krishna manifested himself as all the calves. But during that, the young calves, but during the year, those cows had more calves. Does that make sense? The same cows that had the calves that Krishna became had new calves that weren't Krishna. And so those cows were showing more affection to the older calves than the younger calves, which is highly unusual. You know, usually a mother will show more affection to the baby that was just born than to the kid who's 3 years old. I know that because I was 3 years old and my mother had a child. You understand? Another child. And she loved her, showed so much love for my younger brother that I was upset. Because all of a sudden she was ignoring me. Can you imagine 3 years, mother loves you, after 3 years, who are you? Not really, I bet. But, you know, naturally. So these cows were showing more affection for their older calves. And not only more affection, it describes in the Krishna book, they were on the top of the hill, probably Govardhan Hill, and the older calves were down in the bottom. And so the cows were with their younger calves on the top of the hill, and they just ran down the hill when they saw the older calves and neglected the younger calves. And Balaram saw this, because Balaram wasn't around. Of course, he wasn't kidnapped, obviously. He wasn't around during this whole pastime of the kidnapping. The reason he wasn't around is it's his birthday. He was home that day, so he wasn't with the coward boys. So Balaram saw this. He saw the cows running down from Govardhan Hill and associating with their older calves and neglecting their younger calves. And he's going, huh? What's happening here? And then he saw ladies, the elderly gopis, having as much affection for their children as they had for Krishna. He said, Krishna, what's happening here? He understood that Krishna had become the older calves and had become the coward boys. And then Lord Brahma shows up again. And Lord Brahma just wanted to see the fun. And then Krishna showed that all the cows and all the coward boys were expansions of his. Lord Brahma saw forearm forms on all of them, you know, forearm Vishnu forms when he looked at them. And so that particular pastime was enacted not simply to bring Lord Brahma down to earth to teach him some humility, but to actually enable the gopis, elderly and younger gopis, you know, to, you know, get married, etc., to Krishna, have Krishna as their son, and to enable the cows to have Krishna as their calf. So in other words, Krishna was a calf. Calves, not just a calf. He was many calves. So even the cows, the cows have maternal affection too. It's very wonderful. And this maternal affection is actually one of the strongest forces in this material world. Prabhupada said, the love that a mother has for her child is the closest thing to pure love that we see in the spiritual world. The closest thing. It's not that the lust for men and women is the closest thing. That's the furthest thing. But the love that a mother has for a child, it just goes on and on and on. It's you know, it's wonderful. Therefore, in Krishna conscious society, we protect and worship the seven mothers. You understand? Actually, this Putana didn't become a real mother of Krishna in the spiritual world. She became a nurse. Dhatri is the word used. She became a nurse in the spiritual world. So, but anyway, a nurse is one of the mothers. The earth is one of the mothers. Just like people right now are mistreating the earth in so many ways, isn't it? I mean, there's a whole country of garbage floating in the Pacific Ocean. It's bigger, much bigger than Fiji. I think it's almost as big as Australia, floating in the Pacific Ocean. And global warming, all those other things. I mean, so the earth is also our mother. She's Dhatri. She's mother. And the cow, and of course, there's other personalities too that may not be applicable in this day and age, like the king's wife. We don't have a king, at least the prime minister's wife. And the Brahmin's wife. And some of the Brahmins here have wives, but. And sometimes the spiritual master may be married or not, but in this case, no. So, in any case, we have all these mothers, and the mothers should be respected. Vedic culture is meant to protect the mothers, to protect the old ladies, old people, children, Brahmins. Those are the four classes that need to be protected. And without that, there is no culture. You know, sometimes we hear in certain countries that the women are mistreated, then there's no culture. There's no culture. So this is the point about maternal affection. Any questions or comments? Yes. Yes. Okay. Yes, that's true. But serving your parents, what does it mean to serve your parents? Help your parents become Krishna conscious. I mean, take care of them externally, too. But if you serve them meat, you're not serving them. Like if your mother says or your father says, could you cook me meat? I need to eat meat. I need to eat fish, eggs, yuck. And you think, oh, I'm serving my parents. You're not serving your parents. You're mis-serving your parents. You don't help someone commit sinful activities. You give them Krishna consciousness. You know, just like, you know, if I was with my mother said, you know, can you pick me up some fish at the store? I wouldn't do it. I would tell her, honestly, it's against my principles. I'm happy to pick up some daruka for you. Happy to take care of you, but not anything else. So that's what it means. Because no one should become no one should become a guru or parent or leader unless they're capable of liberating the people they're taking care of from the cycle of birth and death. So let's say, or even in the marriage relationship, if a husband just exploits the wife for sensual enjoyment, then he's not protecting her. Protecting means to protect his wife or to protect his mother from the material energy. It's not enough simply to protect someone physically. That's not protection. So yes, one should take care of one's parents. That's very important. But not that you have to do everything your parents say. There's a difference. There's quite a bit of difference. Because if I did everything my mother said, I wouldn't be sitting here. I'd be in the hospital as a doctor. Which is all right if I was Krishna conscious. I'd be your senior doctor. So I didn't listen to my mother, but I did what was best for her, which is I became a devotee. And because of my being a devotee, she's liberated. If I became a non-devotee doctor, she would not be liberated. She'd be proud, but in Maya. So That's the point. You have to see who to serve. And that, actually, there's this story about the sons of Daksha. Daksha's sons were given instructions by their father, Daksha. He actually had 10,000 sons, quite a bit. They were given instructions to get married and have children. Yeah, that was their father's instruction. And so what happened while they were doing austerities, because that's the Vedic system, you do austerities for whatever purpose, then Narada Muni comes. And Narada Muni says, you have to realize who your real father is. You know, he tells his whole story. He makes it very interesting. There's a story in the Bhagavatam. And these sons disobey their father, their material father, and they become devotees. And then Daksha has a second group of sons, and they do the same. Those are only 1,000 at that point. And they do the same thing. And then Daksha gets so angry at Narada Muni, he curses him. So you never remain in one place for very long. And Narada Muni says, Jai, Hari Bol, I like to travel. And then Daksha decides, no more sons. Just get daughters. And Narada Muni doesn't tell the girls to take sannyas, so don't worry about it. Ladies should not take sannyas, that's bogus. I know they have different bogus groups where ladies are swaminis. It's bogus. Everybody has a different role to play in society according to their psychophysical nature. And you have to recognize that. I mean, it's like dealing with cows. There's a cows and a bull. You can't just like switch them. I mean, that would be stupid. You'd say, all right, we're going to milk the bull today. Just try it. See what happens. I mean, actually, Krishna tried it one time. There's a story. Krishna was looking at Radharani and became so bewildered he started to milk the bull. But that's a pastime. Don't try it. Because if you try it, bulls get really angry. You start pulling on them, you know, you'll be dead very quickly. So there's different bodies and different duties. That's life. Isn't it? You just have to understand it. You know, if you want a different body, all right, next life you got a different body. Pray to Krishna. My dear Krishna, next life, I want the body of a rakshasa, you know, please give it to me. I want the body of a rugby person. What a type of body you want. I want a strong body. Anyway, so, no, just whatever one has in this life, you live with it, that's all. Nowadays, of course, they try to change it. You know, people, like as a man, he thinks, I want to become a woman. Very common nowadays. Maybe not in Fiji. In Fiji too? And then he goes for an operation, you know. And Joe comes out as Josephine. So, so, we should just be happy. Whatever Krishna has given us, live with it. I'm not discriminating against anyone who has those feelings. It's just live with it. It's what Krishna gave you. Krishna gave you a big nose. You don't have to go to the doctor and get a nose job. Get it nice and cute. Just live with it. Unless it causes some injury. You know, unless it, you know, for some reason you keep hitting people with it. You know, like Pinocchio or something like that. But just live with it. It's what Krishna gave you. You know, nowadays people go for plastic surgery. They're not happy. They're getting old. And then they make their skin nice and fresh and everything. Just live with it. Unless it's some disease, you know, then you can try to deal with it. But otherwise, you know, that's who you are. You know, if your hair is black, let it be black. Not that you have to make your hair blonde, especially in Fiji. So, and whatever color your skin is, live with it. Right? Anyway, sorry about that. So, On that happy note, all glories to Srila Prabhupada.